Vishnu Sahasranam, name 119, is Shuchi Shravaha. It's not a very well-known name, but it's... Well, all the names are important, but this one is important for us to consider who we are, what we're supposed to be doing in relation to him. Shuchi means pure. Shravaha refers to the function of hearing. So, one meaning of this is he who listens to words which are pure, he likes to hear that which is pure. Because he is pure, he likes to hear that which is pure. Different people have different tastes. So people are attracted to attracted to different sounds, literally tastes of the tongue, different association, different mode of living according to their mode of material nature that they're in. People are in the mode of ignorance, like music, which is very loud and clanging. People in the mode of passion, this much of this was called classical music, is in the mode of passion. Persons in the mode of goodness, and those who are completely pure, they like to hear glorification of Vishnu, kirtan. So Krishna is pure, he likes to hear what is pure. And what is pure? His name, his form, his qualities. So that's another, everyone likes to hear about themselves. But that's not very good, to want to hear about oneself. But for Krishna, that's very good, because who else should he hear about? Well, you could say Radha, but he likes to hear about Radha. But she is Radha because she's in relation to Krishna. So Krishna likes to hear about himself, just like we hear in Srimad Bhagavatam, when he rises early in the morning and he meditates on himself, because he is the object of meditation. So he likes to hear about himself. We all have that. We like to hear about ourselves. If we like to hear about ourselves, we like to hear others praise us. That's because we're in the perverse consciousness of imitating Krishna and thinking that I am the enjoyer, I am the center. But Krishna, liking to hear about himself, he is the proper person to hear about himself, and he doesn't become degraded, or that is not a symptom of his degradation to hear about himself, which also gives the opportunity to everyone to praise him. And that's what we're supposed to do. Devotees are supposed to, that's the quality of a devotee. He performs kirtan. Kirtan means glorification. Kirti means glories, fame. So one who broadcasts the fame of Krishna, he does kirtan. So Krishna, I can't read my own writing, it's not enough light here. Pure. What does pure mean? Pure means free from the modes of material nature, especially the lower modes of material nature. It's not just a vague idea that you're pure. Like the Mayavadis, they use words without any reference. They talk about love, compassion, kindness. They talk about purity. They ever talk about purity? They talk about that. You're the expert on Neo-Mayavad. Yeah, okay, a little light would be helpful. Thank you very much. But they say all these words without any reference. So it's just love, love. It's just completely vague. Love for all living beings. But love means the focus is Krishna. So pure means to be absorbed in Krishna, consciousness absorbed in Krishna, who is the supreme pure, who by hearing about, one also becomes pure. If at all we can get the tendency to hear about Krishna, that is purifying. So by hearing about whom, he likes to hear that which is pure. And only pure people will vibrate his glories. Those who are impure, they don't like to do so. And those who broadcast his glories, they are bhuvinagrinanti ye bhurida janaha, those who glorify, those who broadcast the glories of Krishna. They are the actual welfare, the best, most magnanimous persons in human society. And others who get some inspiration to glorify Krishna on being informed of the glories of glorifying Krishna, then they also start to glorify Krishna. But how are they fit to glorify Krishna? If we have so much in our heart, so many bad things, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, how we're not fit to glorify Krishna. But the process is that we shall hear about Krishna, that shall gradually purify our hearts, and then we become fit to glorify Krishna. So, Srinvatang Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridyantas Tohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Those who are actually serious to hear about Krishna, by that hearing process, the consciousness becomes purified, and then they become fit to glorify Krishna. In fact, they cannot but glorify Krishna. One who is purified in consciousness automatically glorifies Krishna. Then it becomes not a matter of rules and regulations. Now I have to chant 16 rounds. I have to go to Mangalarti, I have to sing in Kirtan. But for one whose consciousness is pure, it's the natural function of the soul to glorify Krishna. Where does Kirtan come from? It's not a matter of the tongue or the throat. But Kirtan comes from the purified heart. And even those who are not fully purified by performing Kirtan, they become purified. So another interpretation of this name, Shuchi Shrava, is one whose names are worthy of being heard. We should hear about Krishna. Krishna is the proper object, or the proper person, proper subject to be heard about. There's so much kirtan going, not really kirtan, but going on in the world. There are so many people being glorified. Some Americans, became Olympic heroes. Anyone? Anyone know? No one's doing that kind of kirtan here, but probably if you go out on the street and ask who the Olympic heroes are, they'll know. If you come back after 3 months, they're probably forgotten. Because hero to zero. You'll be a hero one day and forgotten the next. And then some new hero. Hollywood, this is the place of tinsel heroes. Imaginary things on the screen, and they show them doing things like, I was on a plane and they had this huge screen and I wasn't watching the film, but it was just completely stupid, like someone jumping out of a window in a skyscraper and flying through the air. I thought, what are all these adults watching this for? And then I saw at the end it says Matrix, and I knew that's like a blockbuster movie, and it's just complete rubbish, nonsense. So they glorify. The tendency to glorify, if not directed to Krishna, that will go to some mundane person who takes the position of being glorified. So, glorified and glorifier. That's always there in human society. But we should know who is the proper object of glorification, who is fit to be heard about. And all this discussion of Vishnu Sahasranama that describes the qualities of Krishna by which he is actually the proper person to hear about, who by hearing about we get the best benefit. What benefit do we get from glorifying a movie star or a sports star? There's no benefit whatsoever. Unless you're a journalist and you get some money for it, then you could say there's some benefit. But there's no benefit. But by glorifying Krishna, we become free from birth and death. That's the benefit. Of course, a real devotee doesn't think what benefit we get from that. It's natural that people ask, well, what do you get from chanting Hare Krishna? Because in this material world, we're always thinking, what will I get? What is the benefit for me? This whole advertisement industry, it runs on the principle of trying to convince people, and in many cases, successfully also. It wouldn't be an industry if it wasn't successful. Convincing people to purchase some product or some service on the grounds that you will be benefited. If you drink Coca-Cola, then you can also jump around with all the young people on the beach who are portrayed as drinking Coca-Cola or whatever the advertisement is. If you buy this car tire, then you will have a beautiful young girl in the calendar. She'll be so attracted to you because you've got these car tires that she will come over to you. I mean, it's nonsense, of course, but the idea is given that you'll be, for some reason, car tires especially, they're always sold, they're always promoted. I guess there's no other way. What else? I mean, it's pretty dull thing, a car tire, so it's promoted with photographs of beautiful young women, beautiful, well, it's on the outside, it looks beautiful. They don't show the inside, it's not so beautiful. Today we're going to have a naked woman photo. Oh, very interesting. But so naked, even the skin's off. Yeah. They're not so attractive. That what benefit, people ask, what benefit, what will you get from chanting Hare Krishna? Once Srila Prabhupada was asked this, what is the effect of chanting Hare Krishna? Someone asked, well, why do you chant Hare Krishna? Someone asked Srila Prabhupada in a very sarcastic way, presuming there's no benefit. Srila Prabhupada gave a three-word answer. Emphatically said, it stops death. So that is the benefit of chanting. That's what, because Krishna is completely pure, by chanting his names we become pure. It means we become fit to be free from birth and death. But the purer devotee, he doesn't think, what is my benefit? Because he never thinks. But he thinks, Krishna likes to hear his name, fame, glories. So let me chant. That's what Krishna likes. That's what Krishna wants me to do. So let me chant for his pleasure, which we should always remember in kirtan, in class, or in all our activities. How Krishna will be pleased. Krishnarte akhila cheshta. All our activities should simply be for the pleasure of Krishna. So these classes also going on. One reason is, well, we become pure. Why do we have the class? Well, Prabhupada told us to. It's a standard part of Vaishnava culture. it's required to hear and understand about Krishna. But another major reason is because Krishna likes this. It's a service to Krishna to discuss about his glories. That's why it's good to have classes, and kirtan can go on throughout the day for the pleasure of the deities. That's also part of their service, because Krishna likes that. He likes to hear that. So, yeah. So, what else? Purify to be heard. Yeah, and Krishna, his names and glories, his pastimes, his activities, hearing about his associates, we said it's pure. That means beyond the modes of material nature, beyond the lower modes, beyond the bad influence. So it's pure, but pure, that means purity is understood by negation of that which is impure. But on the positive side, Krishna and everything about him is beautiful, sweet, adbhuta, it means amazing, wonderful. Adbhuta means as if never seen before, never manifested before. Always new and fresh. It's always charming to hear about Krishna. So that is the meaning, that his glories are pure. Another meaning, Shuchi, means one who is pure. That term is generally used for brahmanas, those who are very pure by their habits, they bathe regularly, they lead a very pure way of life. So they are particularly meant for chanting Vedic mantras. Anyone who's twice born, means Vaishya and Kshatriya, they can also chant Vedic mantras, but especially the brahmanas, they chant Vedic mantras and stotras like this. Vishnu's stotra means praise, just like this Vishnu Sahasranama is praise of Vishnu. There are others also, so many. Praise of demigods also. This Lalita Sahasranam means the thousand names of Lalita, who's Miss Durga. So like that, there are so many others. But actually, who is pure, that is the devotee of Krishna. So devotees of Krishna, they're special. Anyone can chant. It's not that one has to be born in a Brahmana family. Everyone can and should chant. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used to quote, what is that? Shuchi hoya muchi hoy jodi Krishna tyaje. Muchi hoya shuchi hoy jodi Krishna bhaje. Means that shuchi means a brahmana. A muchi means a cobbler, which means it's considered a very low profession because you deal in, making shoes for others, and out of leather. So that's a very low profession. But who is supposed to be a brahmana, if they don't worship Krishna, they are in the lowest status. And someone even from very low status, if they worship Krishna, they are actually shuchi, they are actually pure. So Krishna likes to hear from his devotees. And there's that story which Srila Prabhupada told of the cobbler who had great faith in Vishnu. He's putting the elephant through the eye of a needle. Whereas the brahmana, he didn't have faith. So who was pleasing to Krishna is the pure-hearted person who had great faith in Krishna and great love for Krishna. The two go together. If one has faith in Krishna, then naturally one will have love for Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvang pravartate iti matva bhajante mang buddha bhava samanvitaha. One who has faith that Krishna is the source of everything comes from him, then naturally because Krishna is the natural object of love for everyone. He's the natural object of attraction for everyone. So one who has faith in Krishna and likes to hear about Krishna, so naturally their love for Krishna will arise and they'll want to worship Krishna. So the object, by hearing about Krishna, then naturally our love for Krishna should awaken. And then we want to glorify Krishna, and he becomes very pleased with that. And there are unlimited glorifications of Krishna. It's a natural object. It's a natural pursuit of every devotee that they like to glorify Krishna. They may join in the kirtan and do so, or they may go out among the public to broadcast his glories, to invite people, please join with us in glorifying Krishna. They may write books. There's so many books, thousands and thousands, even in the recent history of India, because we deal in long time scales. Recent means in the last few hundred years. There's so many books, and many, many lost. The devotees would just write. Many times they just write, and not that there were printing presses and they'd be distributing them, but they just write and share with their friends, just like we find in the Goswami writings of the six Goswamis. Rupa Goswami sometimes writes, I'm writing this for the pleasure of Sanatan. He wrote it for Sanatan Goswami. All we can mean for Sanatan means Krishna. But like that, they would share among their friends. But just that natural tendency to glorify Krishna. And you write that down and keep that. Rupa Goswami also, he wrote one verse in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and just kept it in some thatch. He didn't put his name, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found that and he was very pleased with that. So, another meaning of Shuchi Shrava. One who has divine ears, his object of hearing is completely pure. Everything about Krishna is pure. Generally we glorify his lotus feet, his lotus navel, his lotus mouth, his lotus eyes, but his ears are also divine. So that we can, that can be another meaning of Shuchi Shrava. He has very pure ears, because he only hears that which is pure. He doesn't like to hear impure talk. So those who are cultivating spirit of devotion to Krishna, they should be very cautious. We should not speak any impure subject matter, because Krishna won't like that. We should only speak pure subject matter. Another understanding that he is the hearer of all ears. Just like we can only see because Krishna sees. We can only taste because Krishna tastes. We can only feel because Krishna feels. That's clear from the Purusha Sukta, which describes how all the different elements of the universe were created, then all the different demigods entered, but still nothing happened until Vishnu entered, and then everything came to life. So the very function of hearing is made possible by Krishna. He's the hearer of all ears. But he doesn't like to listen to garbage sounds. So we should hear the glories of Krishna as given in Shastra and given by devotees in Parampara. That will be pure. Otherwise, even the so-called glorification of Krishna, much of that may be just like Putana came to serve Krishna, apparently, but she came to kill him. So there are many persons who come to glorify Krishna, apparently to speak about Krishna, but they have another motive. They're actually envious of Krishna. There are many such persons who speak about Krishna because Krishna is popular. His Bhagavad Gita is popular. So they take the Bhagavad Gita and give their own wicked interpretation. So we should not hear that. That's not pleasing to Krishna. That is not pure. Any motive to speak Bhagavad Gita or to perform kirtan other than to please Krishna or to become purified, or if we don't recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is impure. Krishna will not like to hear that. And so devotees, they should also not hear that. What is that verse? Sarpo chishtam. How does that begin? Avaishnava mokod girnam putam harikatam ritam shravana naiva karatavya sarpo chishta yatapaya. That glorification of Krishna, which is just like amrita, nectar, which is the next, amrita is the next name in Vishnu Sahasranama. It's just like nectar and it stops death. But if it's heard from the lips of a non-devotee, then it has a different effect. Just like milk, if touched by the lips of a poisonous snake, then if we take that milk and drink it, it won't nourish us as milk does, but it will poison us. So we should be very careful to hear about Krishna from devotees. That will be very purifying. That will be pleasing to Krishna. Even chanting about Krishna is pleasing to Krishna. And the endeavor to hear about Krishna, that's also very pleasing to Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Oh, there are so many verses glorifying kirtan and hearing. So many verses. Yeah, any question? Yeah, please.
You mentioned that we should only hear shuchi topics, pure topics.
We should hear pure topics only.
Siddhanta Vaibhava, sometimes many of the periodicals you would publish would have the worldly news and the Vaishnava news.
Yeah, that Nadia Prakash, published by the Gauriya Math during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and for some time afterwards, had two sections. One is for the devotees, and one is for the non-devotees. And the non-devotees, that section had worldly topics also. So you're wondering, why should the devotees do that? Well, the idea was to attract people to topics of Krishna. It was called the Nadia Prakash. Why Nadia Prakash? Because that was the newspaper, the daily newspaper for that area. There was no... Actually, I didn't research that, but as far as I know, there was no other daily newspaper in that Nadia area. That area around Navadvipa is still called Nadia. The district is called Nadia District. So the newspapers published in Calcutta, but as far as I know, there was no daily news. So worldly news would be there, and there would also be the devotional section also. So the idea was to make that available, along with the worldly news, so that mundaners would take it for the worldly news, and they'd also have the news from the spiritual world. And much of the Nadia Prakash, it was summaries of lectures by Saraswati Thakur and by his disciples, like that. What is the scope for something like that? There's unlimited scope for preaching in all different kinds of ways. Today also. You want to start a newspaper? It's pretty difficult nowadays. You have to compete with all these, what are they called? Media barons. It's all owned by Rupert Murdoch, right? So that can be done on the internet. It's already there to some extent. Yeah.
Now, there's some place in the podcast, but of course I can't remember exactly where I know, but this, you know, discussion about the value of Nambas, how somebody hears the holy name, you know, even the letters aren't even connected.
Right, different kinds of Namabhas.
So, people who are hearing that, the chanting of the bhajans or kirtans by people like Krishna Das, and, you know, these people, they're not...
The so-called Krishna Das, real Krishna Das we want. Well, that's namapara. You're talking about the namabhas is so powerful that even without knowing or having any intention to chant the holy name, one gets benefit. Just like if you say, "I'm going to the lawn of Rama." Rama is there. Now there will be a drama. Rama name is there. So that benefit is there. But those who are chanting the holy name with an offensive attitude, just like the so-called Krishna Das says, he says that, well, I don't believe there's any actual person, Krishna, but it's the reality within all of us. So hearing from such a person is just like poison. That's why kirtan always has to be accompanied by shravan. That not just chanting the holy name, but that we have to hear also. Srila Prabhupada instituted daily shravan kirtan mela at all of his centers. And we see just like he would call devotees from all over the world to Mayapur. For performing the main functions, well, to visit Mayapur, the holy place, bathe in the Ganga, to chant the holy names together, and to hear from Srila Prabhupada. So hearing and chanting must go on, and the hearing must be in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, so that our kirtan actually becomes the prayer, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. If we're thinking, oh, I'm singing, it's very nice, very musical, very good. And by singing, I also become... Actually, I already am Krishna. It's nice that all these people are singing my glories. So that kind of kirtan, that's not kirtan. It's not pleasing to Krishna. So hearing and chanting must be there. It must be strictly in the line of parampara. Otherwise, it's worse than useless. To drink milk is very good. To not drink milk means we miss the benefit of it. To drink poisoned milk is harmful. So in the same way, to chant the holy name of Krishna is most beneficial. To not do so, we're missing out. And to hear from Mayavadis and demons is poisonous. Yeah, well, that set the hands going up.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your wonderful class. In the scriptures also, he says that...
In what, sorry?
In the scriptures.
In the scriptures, yeah.
That even willingly or unwillingly, in the inimical way, if anyone pronounce the name of Krishna, will get free of many sinful reactions. So how...
Inimically, one gets free from sinful reactions... No, by being inimical to Krishna, one becomes an offender to Krishna. Just like Kamsa, he was inimical to Krishna. He was always thinking of Krishna. But Krishna came and killed him, because he's a demon. So that's a fact that any way one comes into Krishna, contact with Krishna, one is benefited. But the benefit may come after a long time. Srila Prabhupada said that. Even offensive chanting, that may have some good effect, but first you have to suffer from all the sinful effects. And that pollutes the whole culture of Krishna consciousness and makes it very difficult for us to give people the actual benefit. As we find in India, that people, well, when I first went to India for preaching there, it was very, very difficult to preach because everyone, we already know everything. We're Hindus. You don't know. You cannot be a Hindu. You have to be born in your next life, then you can be a Hindu. What is a Hindu? We don't have nothing to do with Hinduism. We're talking about Krishna. Yes, the Mayavad was very, very strong. But now with much distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, now people are purified somewhat. Whereas in the West, we find now we have all the devotees who have been devotees for 20 years, 30 years. Yeah, I know everything. Don't tell me, I already know. So it's a great obstacle to preaching of actual Krishna consciousness to introduce the improper preaching of Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada many times quoted, the Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikanta Ki Hare Bhakti Utpate Yaiva Kalpate. That so-called devotional service, which is not strictly in accord with Shastra, is simply an obstacle in the progress of actual pure devotion. So it is condemned. Apart from that, devotees, they don't like to hear. It's very painful to hear people blaspheming Krishna, minimizing Krishna. The so-called praise of Krishna by the Mayavadis, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, that so-called praise that is more painful to Krishna than the weapons thrown at him by his enemies. The demons, when Krishna was present, they would attack him with various weapons. But the so-called praise by Mayavadis, that hurts Krishna more. He feels very pained that they're attacking him with this so-called praise. You'll hear so many Mayavadis. Many years ago, this was, I don't know, sometime in the 1980s, at Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, I was walking among the tents just to see what people are doing, and I came across one tent, huge pandal, thousands of people sitting. So I listened to the lecture, some of it. I mean, the lecture was already going on. So actually it sounded very nice that we have to, he was talking about Krishna, how we have to call to Krishna, like Draupadi called out in full surrender. I thought that's pretty good for a Mayavadi. And then he finished it up, the lecture, after saying all these things about bhakti, which Mayavadis often do. He finished by saying that, and the main thing you have to realize is that you are God. So that's typical what they do. They attract people with bhakti, and then they shoot the poison. So be very careful. That means he was all that, it's just like Putana. He was all the time saving up the poison for the end. Comes in very attractively, but he's got this hatred of Krishna. Well, he's talking very nicely, and then comes out at the end, "You are God." Very evil people. Yes, Maharaj?
First yoga teacher I went to, he told us, he said, so we should be like Lord Krishna and meditate on ourselves.
a hungry person.
So,
yeah.
So hum,
I am a rascal.
I was thinking I'm tired, I'm lusty, but that's how they're so tricky.
Yeah.
You should follow Lord Krishna and
Therefore, we have to hear from devotees who give the proper explanation. Mayavad is very dangerous. Even Srila Prabhupada once he commented, he said, we talk a lot about Richard Dawkins, but Prabhupada said the Mayavadis are more dangerous than the atheists. The atheists are just stupid. That's not difficult to understand. But the Mayavadis, they're stupid, but it's more difficult to understand because they talk about God, Krishna, spiritual, this, that, and the other. They're more dangerous. They're very misleading. Need some oil for the door. It's not pleasing for Krishna to hear this, right? Someone, please. Who's that someone? Someone means no. If you say someone, it means no one. No one will do it. They'll leave it to someone else. Please put oil on the door so that Krishna can be freed of the sound of the creaking door, like some horror movie sound. Ah, please.
Some devotees like to hear topics about controversial theories,
About what? Controversial?
Controversial theories.
Controversial theories.
Yeah, you were over these topics.
Which one? New World Order. Yeah. I'm a complete believer in that. We should have a new world order of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada made that conspiracy. He's going to recruit all these people and make them chant Hare Krishna and then we'll take over the world. You are part of it and you didn't even know. Just see. Very good conspiracy.
So in our nearby stage, maybe some people think this will encourage you to be more Krishna conscious. But is it the best just to completely think about Krishna 24 hours?
I can't.
Just think about Krishna, just to do.
I can't understand. Sorry.
My question is, is it not good to listen to these kind of topics?
Hear about conspiracy theories and this and that. Well, as we are supposed to be preaching Krishna consciousness in this world, it's good to have some idea what's going on in it. And especially if we want to preach, just like Srila Prabhupada, when he made his Back to Godhead magazine in the 1940s and 1950s, he would start off with some subjects from the newspaper. And then he'd carry the topic into Krishna consciousness. So preaching means we have to communicate with people. And if we just immediately start speaking Krishna Katha, because they're not interested, that's why you have to preach to them. So you have to speak to them something they're interested in. So it's good to know what's going on. And they'll want to speak to, they may have questions to us about some different topics going on in the world. Well, what's your stand on stem cell research, for instance? We should know. We should be able to reply. So some level of knowledge of what's going on in the world is required to preach within it. And if you want to preach among people, some specialized, just like Sadar Puta Prabhu, he made his book on UFOs and he was a great authority on that, but in the UFO community. So that may be also that someone specializes in that. And if it's, I guess it's a fairly big thing, so you might want to know something about it. But my standard reply to all these conspiracy theories is that well, even if you remove all the, you overcome all the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and the Jews, it's all the Jews, right? It's the Hare Krishnas. Oh, sorry. It's not the Jews. Okay, it's the Hare Krishnas. Even if you get rid of them all and crucify them upside down or send them off to, what's that Guantanamo? How do you pronounce that? Yeah, and send them there. Then some other group will come up. Someone else will do it, because someone's always more intelligent than someone else. And they have the exploit. So it's no real use just to remove these people. There have been so many solutions to the, just like democracy was developed in Europe as a response to despotic monarchy. But still in democracy we have some who are more powerful and exploitive than others. And communism is a very good idea, that you just share everything equally. But whatever system you have, it doesn't work. So the real thing is to purify the consciousness of people so that the exploitive tendency is... so that people, they become free of the exploitive tendency. Otherwise, there'll always be someone else who's exploits us. There's no use. You get rid of the conspirators and another group will come up, unless there's purification of heart. So that's the solution. One more question. I guess it's Saturday morning and you're all eager to hear. And
thank you very much.
Yeah.
I just have one question. What is the significance of Gosta life in us?
That's too big a question to talk about now. Significance, if you agree, has to be a grihastha. Significance is most people get married, so Chan Hari Krishna. Grihe tako, bane tako, sada hari bale dako. Whichever situation we're in, Chan Hari Krishna. So it's a big question to launch at the end of a class. Ask, there are so many grihasthas here, you can ask them. You're not a grihastha? You are? Oh, okay. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shuti Shrava Ki Jai. Little announcement here. I've made a new book called On Speaking Strongly In Srila Prabhupada's Service. And there's a little, what do you call that? Promo about that, which mostly consists of Prabhupada speaking strongly. So if you'd like to sit and watch it, you can. It lasts for 12 minutes.